Thank you for joining us for another edition of WQPH's Local Matters. On this week's broadcast, we bring you another broadcast from our sister station, WSFI. And this is the Advent edition of the U.S. Grace Force. This is the era of supernatural grace, recorded last week, featuring Father Richard Heilman and Doug Berry. How do you find God more deeply? We go into that next. This is part one of a two-part series. A special thank you to Angela Tomlinson for producing this broadcast. And you can access this podcast on WSFICatholicRadio.org. And part one will also be available on our website, WQPHradio.org.
My very good friend, the amazing, the incredible, and from Wisconsin, Father Richard Heilman.
Great to be with you.
How you doing, Father?
I'm doing great, Doug. How about you? You got the Christmas spirit yet?
Oh, I do. Of course I do. I mean, good. How can I not when I look at your background? I don't know if anybody can see this if they're just listening on the radio, if they can even see this. You got a great Christmas tree in your little room there, your little studio. It's got some nice green and kind of gold, yellowish decorations all over it, and that big G all over it as well. Anyway, want to welcome everybody out there.
My dad was a geek, and so was my mom, but we always went big for Christmas. Yeah.
I love it.
So it's in my bones.
Yeah, awesome. Well, welcome everybody, WSFI Catholic Radio audience. This is the Battle Ready / U.S. Grace Force monthly radio show. Father, are they ever going to give us more time than just once a month? That's what I want to know.
That's the hope, Doug. We'll see.
Anyway, hey, it's Christmas time, of course, coming up very soon. We're in the middle of Advent. This Sunday is the world famous, am I going to pronounce this right? Gaudete?
Right. I do Gaudete.
Gaudete. Okay. And this is where priests, you get to wear your not pink, but rose colored
dress.
It's
not pink. No.
Yes.
It's so fun every year. Everybody runs around. It's not pink.
Yeah, I hear that regularly from priests all over. Yeah. Can you give a brief summarization, Father, of what Gaudete means and why we're celebrating and why the rose-colored vestments?
Well, it's the Christmas spirit. It's approaching, you know, and it's just a reminder, I think, to all of us is that, you know, Christmas is real close. So, yeah.
It's a joy time, isn't it?
Yep. Yeah. Gaudete actually means to be joyful, right? Yeah. Because, like I say, that heart pounding and Christmas coming, it's only 2 weeks from today.
Yeah.
So it's awesome.
It feels like it's going fast. It feels like it goes fast every year, Father.
Yeah. 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 No, I love it. I actually been getting together a lot with family Thanksgiving. And then my older sister and her husband celebrated their 50th anniversary. So we got together last Sunday and we watched the Packers and the Bears. And
did they play?
Yeah, I think they played. Yeah, but all my brothers and sisters and their spouses, and it was just a really great time. And then we're going to get together again for Christmas. My grandmother started a tradition at Christmas. Our meal is barbecue baby back ribs, and they actually like simmer them for like 12 hours or something like that, so they fall off the bone. But anyways, it's just a lot of fun.
Well, just for the audience sake, we will not be discussing food the entire time here for this show.
right.
But we do want to address, yes, the excitement, the enthusiasm, Advent season, getting ready for the celebration of the birth of the Savior. You know, as we were talking earlier today, Father White, I just love one of my favorite Christmas hymns is O Holy Night. And one of my favorite lines in there is, and the soul felt its worth.
Right.
It's something that just moves me very deeply when I hear those words, and the soul felt its worth.
Right.
Something about this is also a time when a lot of people struggle with depression, discouragement, the heaviness of things in the world, family, whether it's family that doesn't quite get along when you try to come together, or just the distance of family or memories you know, your kids have grown up and moved out and maybe you're feeling alone. I mean, whatever the situation may be, it can be a heavy time as well. And I just want to say quickly to everybody out there, when you have those moments, just remember the soul felt its worth, the worth that we are in the eyes of God, that we have in the eyes of God, is clearly illustrated and recognized by the fact that he assumes human nature and comes into the world as a child. But this isn't the end. This is the beginning of multiple phases. He's born into the world, and then he grows and becomes a man, and then begins the public ministry and the 3 years of teaching and ministry work. And then he lays his life down for us all, dies on the cross, and then rises from the grave and conquers death, and then ascends into heaven and has structured the church with the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. And this is just like phase one of this whole amazing, multifaceted process that is the salvation story. What do you think about that, Father?
Yeah, and as I was listening to you too, Doug, I loved your terminology. He was born into the world on Christmas Day, but he's actually already come into the world, right?
Right.
With the Feast of the Annunciation 9 months ago, mm-hmm. March 25th, when Mary said, "Let it be done to me according to your word." And the Holy Spirit came upon her, and she conceived the Christ child in her womb. And of course, we believe that that is a human being. And so, but he's born into the world on Christmas Day, and everything changes. Doug, I was reflecting on today's gospel reading, and it talks about how Jesus is pointing to John the Baptist. And he says, there has been none greater than John the Baptist yet. The least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And I believe, Doug, what we're talking about there is John the Baptist, the greatest, right? Born of a woman, the greatest and the last of all the prophets of the Old Testament. And we're heading now into the dawn of a new era. That's where we're at right now. 2 weeks away from Christmas. He's about to be born into the world, but we're commemorating that. But that happened, right? 2,000 years ago. And we're coming up on the 2000th anniversary of that. It'd be 2033. But, you know, when he gave himself. Anyway, Doug, to think that we're in this era, and it's an era of grace, mm-hmm. you know, because Jesus was born into the world, because Jesus chose to suffer, die, and then rose again, because of all that, Pentecost brought the coming of the Holy Spirit, a power from on high, for all of us to bring to the whole world, to lift us all up. Oh, holy night, what a powerful night that is, because God chose to offer his son to all of us in order to bring us into this incredible era of supernatural grace that we live in right now.
Yeah. And, you know, it's also a time, Father, I mean, we look around the world and there's a lot happening in the world. I know when we were talking earlier about this, I think some important things to bring up. Every year we go through this amazing season, this amazing time, and I just do not want to forget those that are being persecuted and suffering in the world right now. We have it so good in this country here in America, and other countries too have great blessings when it comes to the freedom to celebrate something as amazing and beautiful and wonderful as Christmas, but there are so many countries where that's just not the case. Nigeria, for example, comes to mind, because that's been in the news a little bit lately, not as much maybe as it should. Many Catholics are being persecuted tremendously over there, and other Christians of the denominations. You know, a few hundred high school girls were, you know, kidnapped by Boko Haram, you know, radical extremists.
Didn't I hear, too, that a priest was recently beheaded, too?
Yeah. Priests have been captured, and other adults, and the beheadings and so forth. This is something that is ongoing. And I just, you know, as we were discussing earlier, too, about historically, go back to 1941, it was December 7th, Pearl Harbor. And then
we just celebrated that anniversary Sunday, this past Sunday. Yeah,
exactly. And the next day, and people can look this up online, there are so many images out there of young men who signed up. They lined up outside of these recruiting stations all across the country, and they signed up to protect and defend the freedoms of our country. This is a war that God allowed to come to America. It was already happening in various parts of the world. And he allowed it to come even here on our doorstep in the Christmas season, in the Advent season, I should say. And so we have this idea sometimes, I think, that this is just this time of great joy and so forth, as it is and should be. But there is the reality of the world that we still live in, which maybe is a reminder, with such darkness that the world struggles with, that the light of the world comes in, that Jesus, the light of the world, comes into the world to try to set us free from this darkness if we cooperate with him.
Right.
But I know you have a lot of great thoughts and ideas on when these men signed up. Their attitude was, I'm going in. And I know you,
I'm going
that means
in
a lot to you. Can you talk about that?
Well, it's I wish I had one handy. I'd show you, but I actually put it on the back of my Make America Holy Again hats that I made. I'm going in on the back of it. My parents were too young to, my dad was too young to enter into World War II. I think he was in high school during the time. But to the patriotism that just got in their bones so much was passed on to us kids from my parents. And so I'm a huge patriot. I know you are too, Doug, but why? Because you talked about those lines at the recruiting stations. I mean, I literally have chills as I'm talking about it right now to think of the heroism, the courage of these young men who said, I'm going in, to use me, take me. Why? Because our country is threatened. My family, my friends, my neighbors are being threatened right now. And I'm not going to sit by and let that happen. And I think it's an excellent analogy, Doug, for us who fight this spiritual warfare that we're in right now. You know, we're watching right in our particular era, we're watching as family members and friends are being devoured by the deceptions of the devil, primarily in our age, through high-speed information and the internet, and just being totally deceived. And it's causing, too, a lot of division in families right now. I just talked with a priest friend. This is such a sad story, but I called him after Thanksgiving. I said, hey, how you doing? I said, how was your Thanksgiving? He says, my family hates me. So he spent it alone.
Wow.
And I didn't know that. I mean, I would have gotten together with him if I had known that. But just to know that, and they hate him, obviously, because he's a Catholic priest and he's in love with God and he's trying to bring to the world the truths of God. You know, we know that scripture passage too, where Jesus says, realize the world hates you. It hated me first. And then he talks about, you know, father against son, mother against daughter, you know, and all that afterwards. And it's tough. It's tough. But we have to keep fighting for those souls, right? Yeah. And that's what I think we need to be talking about here, Doug, especially as Christmas approaches now. And hopefully the listeners understand, this is A Wonderful Life. One of my favorite Christmas movies, by the way. Yeah, but this is a wonderful life to live in the presence of God, to live under the mantle of our Blessed Mother, to live in the power of grace. And we've got to somehow, some way, help our loved ones to understand that. And it begins, and I always talk about this, Doug, but it begins by the corners of your mouth. Keep them upright, right? Work on their resting face. But kindness, generosity, you know, that's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, self-control, all the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We have to be so generous. What can we give our loved ones at Christmas? Give them fruit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. But you can't do that, Doug, right? Unless we're ourselves close. So we're nestled in the arms of our Lord. We're nestled in the arms of the Blessed Mother. And that brings to mind, too, Doug, tomorrow is the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Right.
And the message there, and I, in the context of where we're talking right now, I'd like to share that. This is the message that actually Juan Diego received on December 9th. We celebrate the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe on the 12th because that's when she, you know, opened up her tilma, right? And roses fell out and her image was on that tilma. But this is, I want to share part of the message that she said. She said, know for certain that I am the perfect and ever virgin Mary, mother of the true God. Here I will show and offer all my love, my compassion, my help and protection. I am your merciful mother, the mother of all who love me, of those who cry to me, of those who have confidence in me. I will hear their weeping and their sorrows, their necessities and misfortunes. Listen and let it penetrate your heart. Do not fear any illness or vexation, anguish or pain. Am I not here who am your mother? Are you not under my shadow and protection? Am I not your fountain of life? Are you not in the folds of my mantle, in the crossing of my arms? Is there anything else you need? And what a beautiful message to remind us. And this came, Doug, 1531. Talk about weak and divided at that time. That was 1517 was the Protestant Revolution with Martin Luther. Everything was just going bonkers and crazy. And Our Lady appears at that time. And this would have been in the lead up right to the Battle of Lepanto in 1571. But she was saying, I'm here. Doug, you know, when we look at that nativity scene each year, you know, think about that, that child Jesus in the manger. If you have any images of her actually holding her, that precious baby, know that now, because we live in Christ and Christ lives in us, that that is us. She is nestling us in her arms. And that's amazing.
What you just read, I can think of how many mothers say this, feel this way and would say these things to their own children.
That's right.
And if the imperfect human mother can get a real sense of that, to look at their children at any age and say, I am still here. I'm still your mother and I love you. And that is an undying love that will never go away. And then to realize that this is our heavenly mother who has been preserved from all stain of sin on any and all levels. It really is a mystery that really calls for us to spend time thinking about. I would encourage people, I mean, I know this is the last time we'll be with the WSFI Catholic Radio audience until next year, but I would want to say to everybody, you know, there are some favorite passages that we all have, I think, at different times of our life. Different scripture passages come and go as being really more meaningful based on different chapters of life that we go through. And one that's really been prominent to me is the whole Elijah in the cave scenario. Mm-hmm. When he's trying to find God, he wants to hear God. Right. And there's something so simple about it that reminds me of Jesus in the manger. And even the simple, still, quiet voice of Our Lady speaking to us in the words that you just read when she appeared to Juan Diego in 1531. And this is the passage. It's 1 Kings 19:11-13. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and broke into pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard this, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him that said, what are you doing here, Elijah? And there's something about that moment of the still small voice. And I would ask the audience, just if we meditate on that even and combine that with what you read, Our Lady's still small, simple, beautiful, motherly, perfect voice saying to us, I am your mother and I'm holding my son who speaks to you in the stillness of your heart. And then we've got to put things aside. We've got to set things aside, detach from things of the world, you know, a little bit every day. Is good. I mean, you and I are very involved in what's going on in the world. We pay attention to the news. We're reading things because we do our podcast every week, the U.S. Grace Force podcast. Everybody go check that out on YouTube. And don't forget to check out our other YouTube channel, U.S. Grace Force 2.0. A lot of short form videos there. Great information from some amazing guests that we've had on. Cardinal Burke to Bishop Strickland to Monsignor Charles Pope, Father Dan Rehill. Many, many great words of advice. And of course, the amazing wisdom of Father Richard Heilman himself, you can also find on both these YouTube channels. But, you know, Father, I'd love your thoughts on this too, about that still small voice, because that's what I get when I imagine the Blessed Mother. Whenever she comes to the world, she doesn't come thundering with this strong earthquake type approach. She's always always coming to us, speaking to the stillness of the heart in such simple, beautiful ways, crushing the head of the serpent at every moment. And if we cooperate with that grace, we can have that serpent crushed in our own lives.
Right.
But that passage from the Kings about Elijah, that he hears the still small voice, and that we can hear that voice too, to ask for it is important, to set things aside, detach from things of the world. You know, the creche scene that I have in my house here, there are times when I will just have a little votive candle that I'm going to burn in front of this little scene. And I just sit and look at it sometimes and just listen. And I can imagine the small, still, quiet voice of a baby. And as you just read that about our lady saying, am I not here? Who are, am your mother? Another beautiful, still voice. Your thoughts on the still, small voice?
Yeah. Well, and now I'm thinking too that, you know, historically, today's the anniversary of 2 weeks before the birth of Christ. So Jesus is in the womb of his mother, you know, in that safe space in the womb. But, you know, the tenderness of a mother, I mean, more precious than that. And what an incredible gift God, our Father in heaven, has given us by giving us the tenderness of Mary at all times. She cradles us in her arms. She has that still small voice, you know, and she treats us like mothers do. You know, we have Father and Son and Holy Spirit, but these are men. And we need that too. We need yeah, men that are going to, you know, keep us in line and keep us directed. And, you know, fathers play an amazing role in raising their children, but they're men. And what an amazing gift with the Blessed Mother. And I'm so glad in this week, especially with the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe that we're commemorating, that we're talking about the Blessed Mother and how important that is. Because one of the things you've highlighted earlier, Doug, was that not everybody's filled with joy right now. You know, they're dealing with their own stuff. And sometimes there can be a fear of coming to the Lord, you know, because he's a man, you know, and he's a tough, and it might be too tough with me. That's why I love, again, the gift of the Blessed Mother, where she basically takes us by the hand and says, come on, come on. And I'm going to be here with you. You know, you're going to be fine. It's going to be wonderful. But you know what I mean? That mother that just reassures us, it's a tremendous gift. Before I forget too, Doug, you know, we're talking about all these dates this week. So 7th was Pearl Harbor, the beginning of World War II. And 9th was Juan Diego got that message. Tomorrow, the 12th, is Guadalupe. But the 10th, yesterday, was the 100th anniversary of our Lord appearing to Lucia.
Right.
In Fatima, it was December 10th, 1925, that he appeared to Sister Lucia, explaining the reason for the five first Saturdays, linking them to the five offenses, and promising graces for those who fulfill the devotion. You know, the offenses were blaspheming against the Blessed Mother. That's what they were. And kind of denying her role and denying her completely. But she's... offenses against the Immaculate Heart is how it's related. That heart, that Immaculate Heart, that heart that pounds for all of us. Again, just such an amazing gift. And I just want to encourage people to really, you know, nowadays, obviously, look it up. But how do you do the five first Saturdays? And what a wonderful time to start. You would start on the Vigil of the Epiphany this year. That's when the first Saturday is. Mm-hmm. And it's right after the Solemnity of the Mother of God. It's like 2 days later. And then you could do five first Saturdays as kind of a New Year's resolution, right? But I really encourage you, because that's a wonderful way for us to get really close and in the arms of Our Lady under her mantle in this coming year.
Yeah, and that 1925, December 10th, 1925 was really completing something that had started back on July 13th, 1917, in the apparitions of Our Lady of Fatima to the three children, where on July 13th, 1917, many people are aware that she showed the children the vision of hell. And of course, these are, I always want to say that she does not do this of her own power. Of course, it's the power of her son working through her. But Our Lady reveals this vision of hell. The children describe it. Lucia had written it down. And it was terrifying to them. And then Our Lady said, this is where poor sinners go who have nobody to pray for them or make sacrifices for them. Now, she also mentioned, not mentioned, she prophesied that there would be a second world war. A war will come greater than the war that you're in right now, which will end soon, she had said, in paraphrasing here. It'll be worse, though, than this war. And World War II, of course, broke out in 1938, technically, and you know, was being built up many years before that with Hitler and such in Japan. But then she also said that there would be the error of Russia's ways that would spread throughout the world if Russia was not consecrated to her Immaculate Heart, and that in order to save souls, that God wanted to establish devotion to her Immaculate Heart. And that was kind of the beginning of this, if you think about, you know, the fact that it was introduced, devotion to her Immaculate Heart. Okay, well, what does this fully look like? And then, like, as you just mentioned, December 10th, 1925, it's explained entirely that there will be these five first Saturdays, and to be in the state of grace, receive communion, pray the rosary, spend 15 minutes meditating on the rosary. And to do this five consecutive months in a row would be phenomenally powerful spiritually, not just for the individual, but for the world, for other souls. And, you know, Father, this is something that is a lost, it's a lost, beautiful, spiritual piece of the armament and the weaponry that we've been given from heaven. It is one of the simplest and most beautiful things that we can do. And if you think about a Saturday Mass, I mean, you as a priest have celebrated many, I mean, for people who might complain about the length of time of this, which is really a very shallow complaint. I've been there. I've done that. I've complained in very shallow ways throughout my life. But to complain about, well, it's just too much time. I mean, once a month, I got to go to Mass an extra day. How long is a Saturday Mass? 30 minutes, 40 maybe, if you got a good number of people to receive Holy Communion and it's a little bit longer communion line. And then to pray the rosary, which takes about, yeah, you can do it in 15 minutes if you buzz through it, maybe 18, 19, 20 minutes. And then to spend an extra 15 minutes on top of that to meditate on the mysteries of the rosary. Add that up. You're barely over an hour in general. And God is asking one extra hour a month, five Saturdays in a row, to save souls. It is such a simple, as if God can't make this any simpler for us, to give us just these simple, gradual steps that are not complicated. There's nothing in there about studying an encyclical and writing a thesis on it. There's nothing in there about, you know, making sure that you're dedicating, you know, 7 hours of your day to this devotion or that. It's the simplicity of Mass and the rosary and some time of meditation.
That's all the time we have this week. Tune in next week at this same time for the conclusion of this broadcast. Thank you for listening to another edition of WQPH's Local Matters. We hope you enjoyed the broadcast and hope you have a blessed week.